のバカたち忘れはよ。
オウムのバカたち忘れはよ。
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 シュマッドバーガーの first canon chapter 6 conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva.
Devadattam imam vinam
Devadattam imam vinam
Swara Brahma Vibhushitam
Swara Brahma Vibhushitam
Murchayitva Harikatam
Murchayitva Harikatam
Gaya Manascharamyam
Gaya Manascharamyam
Devadattam imam vinam
Devadattam imam vinam
Swara Brahma Vibhushitam Murchayitva Harikatam Gayamanascharamyam
Devadattam imam vinam
Swara Brahma Vibhushitam
Murchayitva Harikatam
Gayamanascharamyam And thus I travel, constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating this instrument called a veena, which is charged with transcendental sound, which was given to me by Lord Krishna. The musical string instrument called the veena, which was handed to Narada by Lord Sri Krishna, is described in the Linga Purana, and this is confirmed by Srila Jiva Goswami. This transcendental instrument is identical with Lord Sri Krishna and Narada, because all of them are of the same transcendental family. Sound vibrated by an instrument cannot be material, and therefore the glories and pastimes which are broadcast by the instrument of Narada are also transcendental, not a tinge of material in their variety. The seven singing meters, namely Sa, Ri, Ga, Ma, Pa, Dhamma, and Ni, are also transcendental, and specifically meant for transcendental songs. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Sri Narada Dev is always fulfilling his obligations to the Lord, or his gift of the instrument, and thus he is always engaged in singing his transcendental glory, and is therefore infallible in his exalted position. Following the footsteps of Srila Narada Muni, a self-realized soul in the material world should also properly use the sound meters, namely Sa, Ri, Ga, Ma, and so forth, in the service of the Lord, by passing the hymn. Om Agyana Chirmanam Dasya Agyana Janashvanapena Chakshu Malikami Tasmai Shri Guruvay Namaha. Narada Muni is continuing with his biography, autobiography. He's telling you about his life. Now his life may not fit into our concepts of what a normal life is, but what is the nature of our concepts anyway? Material life means servant of the mind and senses. We serve the mind and senses so much that we're not even aware of it. We take it as normal. When we want to eat or drink or do something else with the body, we just think, I'm willing all this. I'm in control. As Krishna says in the Gita, Ahankara Buddha, Patanami. We think we're the doer. We don't understand we're being dragged around by the modes of material nature. Just like if you're tossed in the middle of a rushing stream, you can think in your mind, oh, I'm willing this, I'm willing that. But you're simply being tossed about by the waves. While in the mind you're imagining so much independence and creativity, but actually you're just being tossed here and there. This is the power of Maya. You can imagine so much in the mind, which has nothing to do with actually what's going on. Meaning, has nothing to do with the reality of what Maya is doing to you. In your mind, you can just get lost in yourself. You can get lost in what you think is yourself. You get lost in your own, all the voices you're hearing from within, creativity and expressions and intuitions and this and that, on and on it goes. Meanwhile, what's actually happening? Tossed about by the waves. Jamaya Vase, Dr. Tagore saying, my dear brother, spirit soul, why are you tossing about like this in the waves of Maya? Krishna Das, hey Vishvas, just remember you're the servant of Krishna. All the distress will fade away. So in our mind, we think, oh, I'm in charge. Actually, we're totally surrendered to our senses. They drag us here and there, and we can't even see the slavery. Hunger is forced upon us, thirst, anger, greed, envy, lust, pushed on us. Why? Are we innocent? Why is it happening? Because it's coincidental? No. It's happening because we have chosen to enter into the purview of material nature. We've chosen to enter into the grip of the material energy. Therefore, these things happen. It's our fault. We made the wrong choice. But once we made the choice, then, once we make the choice, then, material nature drags us here and there. Yet with these same senses, which we're slaves of, we think we're going to be successful in understanding what's going on. So much faith we have in the body. Faith in the body also means faith in bodily senses. When you talk about the body, you're also talking about the senses, although you may not think it now. Krishna explains that point in Bhagavad Gita. Indriyani Pranaya Ro. Body means senses. Most people don't understand this point. Because you identify with the body and you become absorbed in lust, you unconsciously get so much confidence in your senses, your sense perception. I am the body, and what my body is perceiving, that is correct. In this way, your attachment to mundane sense gratification will not be slackened. Because you are the body and what the senses are telling you is correct, then just let things go on in that way. And you resent anything that challenges that mentality. Because the mentality is necessary for sense gratification, and you have made sense gratification a necessary thing. Therefore, it all goes back to lust. And what is the original lust? I want to imitate Krishna. Therefore, you get a material body with its material senses, and you very doggedly cling to your body and senses as a means of self-expression and perception of reality. That's why you can be the greatest intellectual, the greatest scholar, the greatest scientist, but you remain trapped because of your attachment to the body. You cannot consider anything else. So your intelligence, your so-called vast intelligence, is all used to operate within the bodily conception. You can't get out of that. You can be a big brain as whoever is supposed to be the big brain, but still, all your intelligence manifests within the limits of thinking, I'm this body. So some people are less intelligent within those limits. Some people are more intelligent within the same limits. But ultimately, the problem is the same. Therefore, Prabhupada would always say, you can have so many zeros. What's the difference? I have one zero, you have five zeros. Could you have 10 zeros? You've got 1,000 zeros. You've got a PhD with 1,000 zeros. I only have one zero. I'm bigger on the screen. To become Krishna conscious means we have to at least slacken our attachment to our senses. This is what causes candidates of Krishna consciousness to be problems. It causes those who tried to practice Krishna consciousness for some years to cause them problems. The senses demand service. Rupa Goswami points that out. They demand service. And when you surrender to them, do you think they give you relief? No. No furlough, no vacation, no holidays, no Anzac Day. Yep. Service, 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 without relief, and without satisfaction. So Rupa Goswami, he said like that. For so long I've served these senses. They give me no relief. Nor do they give me any respite, any break, any holiday. What's the use of this? No satisfaction, and I can't give up that service. They don't give me a break. Therefore, let me engage in devotional service of the Lord. Once our attachment to our senses slackens, then we can start to consider that there may be things going on beyond the range of our senses. People do not understand, for example, the effect of intoxication. They little bit understand. Therefore, you're driving on the road and the police may pull you over to make a random check. You can't drive while you're drinking. Everyone knows it distorts your perception. But at a party or amongst friends, it's all right. The drinking helps make things convivial and sociable. Loosens your tongue, loosens your behavior. Makes life better. Still, people know that when you're intoxicated, you're different. It's not quite right. Not quite the way things should be, although it's necessary to get into that kind of fun mood from time to time. But still, it's not the real thing. It's not practical. It's just having fun. That's a lie. Illicit sex life? They cannot see how that distorts their perception. How it, Prabhupada describes, it is the essence of bodily attachment. The effect on the consciousness is so profound in the sense that you become so absorbed in being the body. Therefore, people have so much trouble understanding transcendentalism because they cannot follow the regular teachings. They don't want to. They don't even know about them. Therefore, their resistance is so high against things that have nothing to do with their senses. So the first thing necessary to become Krishna conscious is to decide to control the senses. Chanting Hare Krishna is just that kind of decision. Not everybody may know it when they first start to chant, but it is the first step towards controlling the senses in the age of Kali. Because in the age of Kali, there's no culture of preliminary There's no preliminary environment for spiritual advancement. What's a good preliminary environment? Describe the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. Tapasa brahmacharyena samenasha damenasha chagena satyasocha vyam yamena niyamena va. First of all, in any civilized society, people do not run around uncontrolled lust. In that department, the senses are firmly controlled. That is the first austerity, tapasa brahmacharya. Then, there are rules to follow. Things to do, things not to do. Controlling the mind, controlling the senses, all that's necessary. Rejecting things that interfere with spiritual development. Truthfulness, cleanliness, all these things. These are preliminary conditions. They make the field favorable for the seed of spiritual life. Or the Bhagavatam presents other ways also. The four legs of religion: truthfulness, kindness, mercy, and austerity. All these things a society must have just to be in a favorable material condition so that some positive receptivity can be here for the transcendental seed of Krishna consciousness. These preliminaries are not spiritual in themselves. They allow for the prevalence of a motive goodness atmosphere. Motive goodness many times is misunderstood, because people think when they hear goodness, it must be the opposite of badness. Good, bad, motive goodness. Satvagun, goodness in the Vedic sense, means clarity and freedom from pronounced material hankerings. That is goodness. But people don't have any understanding of those kind of conditions, therefore they hear the word goodness. Yeah, good. Well, everybody's good. Everything is good. Good on you. So that word goodness in English is a bit misleading. They don't understand what sattva-guna is about. How sattva-guna is the highest flavor of material existence. And freedom from gross material agitation. And freedom from behavior that causes agitation to others. So anyway, when we have a proper society which can provide the preliminary basis for spiritual things, people can very easily hear. And that's where Narada Muni and his followers come in. Narada Muni simply wanders here and there, vibrating the transcendental glories of the Lord. He's got a veena personally given to him by Krishna. Now, what does that let you know? Think deeply about it. It means the absolute truth has qualities, variety. Krishna is the source of everything. Sometimes Krishna is described as nirguna, no qualities. And as you all know, that means no material qualities. In terms of spiritual qualities, the absolute truth is saguna. Krishna contains varieties. Krishna is the source of reciprocation, transcendental love. Therefore, he's giving Narada Muni a musical instrument. Because Krishna is transcendental, whatever Krishna gives is transcendental. So Narada Muni gets to play a transcendental musical instrument, which always chants Hare Krishna, another direct glorification of Krishna. We're hearing in the purport about the particular transcendental meters for glorifying the Lord. These are all given in the Vedic texts. Because Krishna is a person, that means there are particular ways that please Krishna more. Like any person has particular styles that please him or her more. The same with Krishna. And a pure devotee is always trying to find out what pleases Krishna best. So now you have Narada Muni traveling constantly, singing the transcendental messages of the glories of the Lord. Narada Muni is at the beginning of our sampradaya, or spiritual line of succession. He's always appearing here, there, and everywhere in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes in the most extraordinary circumstances. comes in and goes out. Just like Narada Muni always vibrates the glories of the Lord, we can always do the same. That is the only cure, the only hope in Kali Yuga. It's amazing how sometimes we look for other hopes, but there is none. Shukadeva Goswami testifies to that in the 12th canon. Asti Ego Mahanga. There's only one good thing about Kali Yuga. If you're looking for something else, good luck. You're looking for peace in the material sense. Nature treating you nicely. People treating you nicely. Looking for peaceful social coexistence and all these kind of things. Mundane brotherhood. Those things actually would go on in other yugas. On the mundane plane, there would be mundane brotherhood. You might say. Nature did treat people nicely. Not in Kali Yuga. Only one good thing. And it takes a long time, it seems, for us to accept that point. Knowing that most people would have difficulty accepting that point, Prabhupada wanted that some or other, some measure of varnashram civilization could be reestablished. Although he said many times it would be difficult, not that it would be possible. But still, try to revive something. Because then people who are not ready to fully take shelter of the holy name of the Lord, but have some kind of favorable stability in their life. Sometimes even our own devotees, they thrash about so much because they don't feel a foundation or stability. They're subject to so many gale storms and blowing winds. This is because we don't take Shukadeva Goswami seriously. There's only one good thing. I'll tell you that. That good thing, however, is so inconceivably great that the Bhagavatam describes how great saints and sages worship Kali Yuga. In spite of all the hell, they worship Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, you can easily go back to Godhead through chanting Hare Krishna. And what's even more dynamic than chanting Hare Krishna? Helping others to chant Hare Krishna. That's why Krishna says himself in the Gita. Natsatusma manusheshu kashchin me priyakritama. There's no one more dear to me than the one who spreads my glories to others. So there you have the life of a transcendental signality. You only take shelter of the one good thing, and you teach others about the one good thing. Amidst all the turbulence, tossing seas, and blowing winds, which will go on and on. Yes, there is a 10,000-year period in the age of Kali, the golden age of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, in all the yugas, in each yuga, there's many periods where the other yugas appear. In Kali Yuga, we have this golden age of Lord Chaitanya. But it's not for everyone. It's for those who actually take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's spirit. Rain is everywhere. Rainstorms everywhere, but not everybody's carrying an umbrella. To qualify for the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, we must take shelter of the umbrella and chant the holy name. Then the miseries, the ordinary Kali Yuga miseries, won't be for such chanters of the holy name of the Lord. Miseries mean body and mind. Not the soul. By properly chanting Hare Krishna, you're situating your spiritual identity. You don't identify with the comings and goings of mental and physical happiness and distress. So these are some points that we can think about when meditating on narrative belief. Any questions?
So beginning with the lecture, you could say about controlling the senses. Now, is it's not like you're having a dog and a bitch controlling the senses, but you have a dog on a leash, and then that's how controlling the senses is, but the tendency is still dormant. How do you just completely root out the tendency for the senses to try to engage?
That is discussed by Krishnamurti in Jupiter Goswami, the sixth canto. How to uproot all the leaves of the weed of sinful activity. You don't want an elephant there. The vedic process of atonement, counteracting papa, sinful action, with punya, pious activity. That's the elephant bath system. That was Priyashtatam ato partham manye kunja asocha. This atonement, balancing of pious and sinful activities, this is elephant bath. Elephants bathe very carefully. They get up on the bank of the river and roll in the dust. Even knowledge, Priyashtatam Vimarshanam, Sukadeva Goswami was testing Prithvaraj. He presented that. Priyashtatam Vimarshanam. Atonement means getting knowledge. Impersonalists, real jnanis, are very expert in it, always analyzing what is properly done in accordance with every moment they're trying to be on their P's and Q's. Actually, not possible. And Prithvi Maharaj pointed out, even in any other yuga, the point is there that such rigorous behavior based on knowledge doesn't uproot the weed of sinful desire. Doesn't get to the root of it. But bhakti yoga, kechit kevalaya bhakti, vasudeva parayana, by rendering service to Lord Vasudeva. Focusing purely on service to Lord Vasudeva. All sinful desire is dispelled, just like when the sun rises, the fog goes away. So Krishna Maharaj accepted that, that is only complete way to engage the senses in the service of the master. Another forgotten point, the glories of devotional service, simply by sweeping the floor of the vision, simply by washing pots for vision. What to speak of? Attempting to distribute Krishna's glories. You are engaging your senses in the Lord's pleasure, and therefore you're safe. That's why in the 10th canto, Prabhupada describes the book distribution is samadhi. You're always thinking, how to get these people to take books? What's a better way? How can I arrange my life so it'll be more potent? All this is samadhi. Even the anxiety. Like one day, you get phobia.
Someone's taking three books from me.
That's nice to have that anxiety. That's not material anxiety. A real devotee is always thinking he's not serving Krishna. So that anxiety, how to distribute Krishna's glories more and more, that's part of the samadhi. Sometimes you can just see that in your mind, you can just see people walking past you on the street. You're thinking, how am I going to get them to take a book? You see them walking past. They become a permanent part of your meditation. You see them as Krishna's lost servitors. What am I going to do? How can I get somewhere out there? Get these people to take them for all those books. That's samadhi.
Hi.
Same senses that give you bondage give you liberation. So what is the difference between, if you look at that, what is the difference between a pada and a pada? What is the distinction? What is that?
The distinction is whether the action is for Krishna's pleasure or not. The whole point of Bhagavad Gita. Simply everything is personal. The problem with people today, as is always the problem, is that they want to establish personal relationships amongst themselves and think that their relationship with anything else is impersonal. We shall give a cold shoulder to Krishna, but amongst ourselves, we will establish very deep personal relationships. That's worth it. Thank you.